Well, good morning. I'm excited to be here, and it is true. We do spread out. The more room we're given, the more space we spread out in. And I thought it was probably so that we're saving a seat for the Holy Spirit to be just next to me. And so we make sure. But, you know, ladies, I really need to tell you, the Lord really did put on my heart this morning that we are living in a time when we need to draw closer than we have ever drawn before. And as women, I want you to know, ladies, we can change the destiny of our country if we will draw together and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and then I will heal their land. Ladies, do you want to see this land healed? I know every one of us do, and that is a word from the Lord that I didn't have. I don't have that in my notes, but I want you to know that God is telling that to you this morning for a purpose. You've been praying about something. You've had some things on your heart, and God is answering your words, or what you've spoken to him. He's answering that right now, so pay close attention to it. I wanted to tell you, yes, we have been. My name is Joy Welsh, and when I found out that this is going live, I panicked. Because I would have worn something different. I would have dimmed my hair. Oh my gosh, you're out there and you can see me. Can we just do this in just? And here I have to talk about what we talk about. And so it's very if and I've had two cups of coffee. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word, Lord. We are thankful to be together this morning. What a joy it is to be in your presence, God. You are good. You are always good. You are faithful. You are loving. You care for us, Lord. We seek your face this morning, Lord. We pray together, Lord, for our nation right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for our the things that we have supported in wrong things, Lord, in our country. And help us, Lord, help the leaders of our country to turn from their wicked ways. Lord, we all have some that we need to turn from. And Lord, help us in our country to turn from those wicked ways and to seek your face so that you can heal our land. Lord, we want to live for you. I pray, Father, for your word that you have put before me today. Lord, help me to express it in a way that brings glory to your name at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, yes, my name is Joy. And see, if I follow my notes, I'll do much better. We have been at Refuge Calvary Chapel, my husband and I, for 15 years now. When we moved from the building that we were at, we moved into what was the Burlington Coat Factory. Thank you so much, those of you who... Yeah. Okay, so we bought that building. It had sat empty for 7 years. And we bought it when it was closing. They were breaking ground on Bellaterra. So our building went up twice as much in its worth when we first moved into it. So we're very excited to be able to minister in the marketplace right there across from Bellaterra. It's an exciting place to be. Bill and I have ministered in a number of countries, as that lady who was here said. And, I got to tell you, I'm old. And I don't remember a lot of stuff, so pray for me. We've ministered in it. Kathy is her name, and I know that. we've been in the UK, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, Austria, Germany, Italy, Romania, Israel, New Zealand, and Australia. and not to mention Albuquerque, New Mexico as well. But we've been able to minister in those places, and I am excited to be here today. So most of you know my husband, Bill Welch, because you listen to him every day on weekdays on K-Wave 107.9. At 4:30, he's on there every day. That is a shameless plug for my husband, who is an excellent teacher, and I know that you will enjoy listening to him. I have four children, and they are all serving with us in the ministry, either teaching or leading in worship. They're all a part of our church there. My son is a part of his, the girl he married is, her dad is the pastor over at Foursquare Church in Brea, and he leads worship over there and has for us as well. I have seven grandchildren. All of my kids sing. All of my kids play some instrument. I play the radio. I can play cards. I can do those sorts of things. We have seven grandchildren who are all already learning how to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and they're getting better and better at it as they learn to worship the Lord as well. Bill and I have been married for 39 blissful years, some more blissful than others, but we still even like each other. It's just so, I am so blessed to have a man in my life who, you know, Genesis says that Eve was to be his helpmate, his rescuer, and I have found that Bill has been my rescuer. He has been the one that is, and it's going to make me cry, so I should move on. So I'm very, very thankful for him. I am excited, though, about this study. I am so excited to be able to share with you on our key verse, and I'll bet from last week you've already memorized the verse, right? This is the point, you go like this. Uh-huh. And then let's just say it out. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. That is a mouthful to get in there, and I've been asked to share on being an example to the believer in word, and I got to tell you, I am not normal. Normal people only have to control what comes out of their mouth. I, on the other hand, have to be in control of every part of me, because even though it might not come out of my mouth, every part of me shows exactly what I'm thinking, exactly what I would like to say, but I'm not saying it. And so I have to be really conscious of everything that's going on with me so that I don't portray what I'm really thinking, and the whole time going, God, help me not to say these things, help me not to do these things. But I don't think it's fair that I have to live like this. But seriously, I am excited to share what God has put on my heart for this subject. Now, Bill and I love to go to the movies, and more the movies are less and less able to go to because there's so little in them that is redeemable. But we also like to watch TV, and one of our things that we really like is Chopped from the Food Channel. And we're not always there when it's on, so we record it so that we can watch it at another time. And so when we're watching it, when we are sitting down and we're watching it, and we're, you know, your mind wanders and you get pulled away and you're thinking on other things, and you hear a little bit of something, I missed that. Would you rewind that? And so we rewind it and we go right on to the subject. But recently, though, I was at a movie. And I was sitting there, and my mind was so far away from what was going on that screen, and I heard a word, and I just went, wait, I didn't catch all of that. Can we read? Oh, no. That's a one-time run-through. I don't get to rewind that. And because I was teaching on this subject of being an example to the believer in word, the Lord used it as an example to me. We cannot rewind and take back something that we've said. Once it's out there, it's out there. And no amount of apologizing and receiving forgiveness will change what we've said. It's out there. We can be forgiven, yes, but it's still out there. Because of the way that I was brought up, a lot of things were said to me in demeaning ways and stuff. And so when my children were growing up, I was very conscious of the way that I spoke to my kids. Now, I made mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't get it right every time. But I would put phrases together like, you are acting like a brat. You are not a brat. I know that's not who you are, but you're acting like one right now. That's an important way to express what's going on inside, to be able to say, this is what you're acting like, but I know that that's not who you are. And that's the way that we need to speak to one another as well. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says that we are to let our words be few. And we need to be reminded of that as well. I found that the most important thing to do with our words is know when to shut up. Yes? Does anybody else agree with me on that? Now, when I get together with the ladies and we're planning our retreats or we're planning Bible studies and stuff, and we're all chatting, we're all going on with our ideas and this and that and the other thing, no, this is the way we're going to do it, and I'm going on and on, and all of a sudden I'll say something like, I think I hear the Lord saying, shut up, Joy. Because sometimes I get so involved in what I'm saying that I don't wait to listen. We have two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. And so I have to be reminded of that. Years ago, I heard of a situation where a woman had spoken some things about her pastor. And she had shared them with other people. She gossiped about it and something that she had heard. But then she found out that it wasn't true. And so she went to the pastor, and with the pastor, she said, I really am sorry that I did this thing to you. I really am sorry that I shared these things with other people. Would you please forgive me? The pastor said, oh, of course I forgive you. Of course I do. But I want you to do something for me, if you would. Oh, anything at all. I'm repenting of this thing, and I'll do whatever you ask. So he gave her a pillow, a feather pillow, and he said, take this up to the hill that overlooks the city and tear it open and spread out all of these feathers all over the city. So she took off, and she took that. Of course, I can do that. And she's up there spreading them all over the city, and she's thinking, oh, he's trying to teach me a lesson of just letting it go. Don't worry about the things that you've said. You're forgiven. It's all out there. It's fine. Nothing's wrong. And she brought it back, the empty ticking that he had asked her to do. And he said, there's one more thing I'd like you to do. I would like you now to take this empty ticking and go out through the entire city and pick up every feather that's been spread out. Oh, well, I could never do that, she replied to him. There's no way that I can do that, and neither is there any way, he said, that of the things that you have said, neither can you retract them from the minds of the people that you've said them to. Once it's out there, it's out there. And we need our words to be something that brings glory to God. There are no do-overs when it comes to our words. Have you ever said something? That's a stupid question to ask you. Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said? And you just go, rewind, get it back. I don't like the lady that, and we've, I know I've done it, but probably you never have, and it's the illustration that's used all the time of seeing a friend and go, oh, when is that baby due? My baby is 5 years old. you wish you could take it back. Right away, you realize, oh, no, she's not pregnant. She is not pregnant. I should have thought before I speak, but I didn't. And so Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So from what abundance in your heart does your mouth speak? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I love that scripture, and that is such a good one to be the base for us here. But I want us all to know that we shouldn't start singing our conversation to each other. Singing and songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Good morning, Kathy. I'm just so excited to be here today. You know, that's not singing and making melody in our hearts. That's not what that verse is talking about. With singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, that's a great way to memorize scripture, but it's not a good way to have a communication with one another. Matthew says that we are to speak with wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all men liberally, it says in James, that we are to ask of him and he will give us that wisdom. So we are to speak in wisdom. We are to teach one another, according to Matthew. We are to admonish, that is, express warning or disapproval, especially in a gentle, earnest, or a solicitous manner, to give friendly, earnest, or encouragement to someone. That's what it means to admonish. It doesn't mean give a little slap on the face. It means that we are to encourage one another and strengthen one another. We are to do it with a joyful heart full of grace. A joyful heart. Okay, I'll say the nicest thing that I can think of, but in my heart, I am yelling at you. Oh, nobody else does that, huh? Nobody else in here says something and the heart's saying something different. God wants us to speak it from a joyful heart. A heart that's full of wisdom and teaching and admonishing. That heart full of grace. When I was taking a class at College of the Desert in sign language, and our instruction was that we were to take so many words and we had to express, we had to stand before the class, and the class had to read aloud whatever it was that we were signing. And so I had worked really hard on this, and what I signed was Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It wasn't until I finished the very last word that the instructor said something. First of all, I was doing scripture in a room that was Bible-free. We don't want scripture in the public schools because it might taint us. It might make us go in a good direction. So I realize here I am doing this, and all of them are speaking this scripture because they have to read the signs. And my instructor, I was reminded right away, she was known for her four-letter words in all of her teaching. And the thing that she said was, I've never seen that before. See, what comes out of our mouths ministers to us as well as to others. When they read aloud and they had to hear themselves say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How cool was that? So, what do I want to come out of my mouth? Yeah, I got to tell you, there was a twinge of walking out of that class going, I'm so cold. This is so cold. Did you hear? She said it. She said it out of her own mouth, and she was convicted at the same time. I loved it. But so what do I want coming out of my mouth? It's going to come from the abundance of my heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It will come from what I meditate on in my heart, and I will be asking myself if it is acceptable in the sight of the Lord, who is my strength and my Redeemer. Last October, I was, we had the privilege of having our, we've been in a house that we bought 2 years ago. And so the kitchen, we had opportunity to get the kitchen remodeled at a very good price. And so I didn't know that when you did remodeling that you had to make so many choices. I had to pick out things that I'd never done before, and I had to do the countertop and a faucet and a sink and the type of cabinets and the dishwasher and the stove, and it was fun and it was exciting and it was scary, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I did it anyway, and I kept moving forward. So I went, well, I had to pick out the countertop at a place that was in Anaheim, and so I went there with a friend and picked out the countertop, and I knew that today I also had to order a sink and a dishwasher and a stove. So all of those things all had to be done that particular day. So I thought, okay, I'm here in Anaheim. I'm going to go to the nearest Lowe's in Anaheim. And so I went over to the nearest Lowe's in Anaheim. That's not a plug for Lowe's, but it is a plug for what happened afterwards. At the Lowe's in Anaheim, there was a salesperson there. His name was Richard, and I was very pleased to meet Richard. He was very helpful. He was very good with us, helped us to pick out the right things, the most expensive ones, and directed us toward, this is a good one, but this one would be so much better for you. And he was really great at his job, and I really appreciated his help. And so I had prayed at the very beginning of this, Lord, at the end of the day, when all of this is said and done, I want to conduct myself in such a way that when it's all over, I'm able to share Jesus with Richard. And so I had already prayed that. So Richard helped us out. And, well, the dishwasher got installed, but didn't run correctly. So, hi, Richard. Yeah, we have a little problem here. Could we just exchange this, oh, no problem. I'm sorry that you're having problems. We'll get it to you right away. And we got that taken care of. No worries. And then it was time. Everything else was fine. Then it's time for my beautiful stove to arrive. Now, I took at least 3 hours figuring out what stove I wanted. And so as I'm excited about this, Bill and I are out of town and a friend is taking care of stuff. And so the stove arrives. And when the stove arrives, it has a broken part on it. And so my friend calls me and he says, you know, we've got a do something about this, we'll have to send it back. I'm in another state. Hi, Richard. You know, this is Joy, and I just want to let you know, can you come and pick it up and bring the new model? Oh, that's fine. I'm sorry that that happened. That's, we'll take care of it right away. It'll be picked up on this day, but it's going to take 2 weeks before your other stove. Let me remind you, we're in October at this point. And so it's going to take another 2 weeks for this stove to arrive. No problem, I said. That's totally fine. It'll work out really good, and we'll have it in time for Thanksgiving, and I'll be able to have my family over and everything, so that'll work out just fine. And I heard a little bit of a hesitation in his voice. Okay, well, you see, he wasn't used to people being nice to him when there was something wrong. So we get back, I get the phone call, your stove is in. All right, bring it on over, and we get the time for it to be brought over, and they bring it in, and we were going to connect it up ourselves, so they took the stuff off of it and set it in the middle of the kitchen, and they left, and I looked at it, and I went, it's been a while since I ordered that, but that just really... that does not look like the stove I ordered. The stove I ordered was something I paid extra for to get a convection oven, which I've never figured out yet, and a special top on it that was, I recall, it was black, which I will never do again either. I looked at it, and I looked at the serial number on it, and I could see that it was just one number off. Hi, Richard. The stove came. I'm very excited to see it, but there's a slight problem. It's the wrong one. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I can't believe. Okay, so, well, it's already open. It's already in your house. And okay, well, now we're well into November. Okay, well, and I just said to him, I said, you know, apparently somebody just didn't have their glasses on when they were writing down the order, and it probably just wrote down the wrong number, and it's not a problem. It's just, you know, I'd really appreciate being able to have our stove before Thanksgiving. And he was like, oh, wow, well, thank you so much for being so understanding and all. And so then he took the order again. So it's going to take another 2 weeks for the other stove to come. Okay, so now we're into the middle of November. Thanksgiving is coming. On Wednesday, I get the call. Your stove is in, but we can't deliver it today. Okay, well, that's fine. Let's deliver it on Friday. That's no problem at all. We'll work it out. Not a problem. Richard, just have a great time. Have a great Thanksgiving. You're off, right? Have a great time. And I'll have a great time, and we'll get something figured out here. Oh, I'm really sorry you don't have it for Thanksgiving. That's fine. It's totally fine. You know what? Worst things are going to happen in my lifetime than not having a stove on Thanksgiving when my whole family's coming over. But, you know, it's okay because we'll work it out. God has a plan. And so I did have Thanksgiving at my house, and I cooked my turkey in an electric oven. I used 3 crock pots, and I used the barbecue that was outside. And so we had this. Everybody was over. It was one of the best Thanksgivings we've had. And we had a great time. Friday, I have the time that this is supposed to be delivered, right? On Saturday, Richard, I don't know what happened, but I waited all day and didn't get a call about it being delivered. My stove, you know me, I'm Joy. And I hear silence. Oh, let me look at it. Oh, Joy, you are going to kill me. First of all, it's probably not, but I forgot to push the button that sealed the order for it to be delivered. And so it's not going to be delivered until such and such. That's totally fine. And I said, so how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a great Thanksgiving? He said, well, but I'm sorry that, I said, you know what? We had the best Thanksgiving we've ever had. We enjoyed our time together. Our family was together. We had a great time. He said, wow, I wish all of my, of course, by this time, most people aren't this understanding, but unfortunately, I had prayed before this all began. And so I told him, okay, so I could be upset with you. And then that puts my stress on you. That stress gets conveyed to the next customer. And then you're going to take that stress home with you, and it's going to affect your family. I'm going to have high blood pressure from my stress. It's going to affect my husband, my family, my Thanksgiving. And I will still be without a stove, but I'll be sick. Why bother? So it was the words of my mouth that ministered to him in being able to say, you know what? Yeah, worse things are going to happen in my lifetime. I promise you that. But God is in control, and I know God has a plan for this. At the end of the day, I was able to get my stove, and I still don't know how to use it. But I had it for Christmas. So there you go. But I was able then to go back and say, Richard, thank you so much. The stove is here. It looks beautiful. Everything's wonderful. Everything's in place. Thank you so much for being so good at what you do. Thank you so much for always being polite to me when I called. Thank you so much for always working things out and for caring about me as a customer. Thank you so much for doing that. How can you react this way, he said to me. How can you possibly react this way? Richard, I'm a Christian. And I had prayed before the beginning of this that I'd be able to share Jesus with you at the end of the day. And that's where we're at. So you see, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How am I going to use these words? And so I have pages and pages that talk about all of these things. Yes, so that is an absolutely true story. Every bit of it is absolutely true. No doubt God was getting me ready for this very day when I would stand here and be able to say, yes, it is possible for us to control our tongue. Yes, it is possible for me, for the words of my mouth to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, who is my strength and my redeemer. Yes, we can do it, but we have to invest that time with the Lord. I know I'm talking to a group of ladies that you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is you say, good morning, Lord, let me get out your letters to me, and which is the Bible, and let's sit down and let's have a chat. I'm talking to a group of ladies who treasure that time with these love letters that the Lord has written to them. And you've sat in the morning, first thing, to find out the direction that the Lord has for you. And you've been there and you've allowed him to speak to you and you've remembered that, oh, I don't even have to be talking all the time. I can invest some time in listening to the Lord. And then as you listen to the Lord and you allow him to bring to your remembrance the things that you need to do, and then you write down the things that he's shown you, and you go back on that throughout the day. You go, oh, yeah, that's what the Lord said about. Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember, you know, that I didn't expect this to happen today, but I remember that I told the Lord that I know that he's in control, and whatever this day brings, I know that he's in charge of it. I've already come to that place early in the morning so that later in the day I'm able to say, I know that God's in control. I can get through this. He and I can get through this together. Bill and I were, I meant to say a friend and I, but Bill and I were, we were at San Juan Capistrano this past week, and we stopped for lunch We were having a great time just, you know, walking around. We had taken the train down on our day off, and we're down there, and we're having lunch, and we go into this restaurant and sit down, and the waitress comes up, and she says, "Hi. So, do you want something to drink, or..." I'm not kidding you. This is a true story. So, well, iced tea, and we get our orders. And okay. She walks away. And then she comes back. "Well, have you decided what you're going to have yet?" "Well, I was wondering about this and that." "Well, whatever it says there in the menu. That's what we have." And she walked away, and Bill and I are both, our first attitude is, she needs to find another job. She obviously does not like serving. She does not care about a tip. She really is, you know, she just needs to maybe leave or whatever. "Could we have a different server, please?" But the Lord spoke to my heart. And when she came up and she brought our food, I said, "So, how's your day?" She said, "It's been the worst day of my life. I was at the doctor's this morning, and I just want to be home." After that, I told her, "You know, we have just prayed for our food, and when we were praying for our food, we prayed for you. And so I'm glad to know what we were praying for." Changed her whole attitude. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O my strength and my redeemer." Are my words acceptable unto him? Are my words going to bring someone else to Christ? Are my words going to encourage another believer to walk closer with the Lord? I often do that when I'm at a restaurant. Whoever our server is, I'll say something like, "We're about to pray for our food, and I was wondering if there's anything we can pray for you." And most of the people go, oh, yeah, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, that's okay, but can I pray for you for something? And I take it very seriously. Or others who, no, I don't have anything going on in my life. It's okay, I'll pray for you anyway. But this one particular time, we some girls and I were down in Laguna, and we asked the girl, "Is there anything that we're going to pray for our food?" And we were wondering, "Can we pray for you for anything?" Tears. Immediately, "I've just been diagnosed with breast cancer." Do you know what our words can do? Do you know what our words can touch the lives of others? And those words that have gone out have now come back to me, because now they've encouraged me. We took a picture of that girl, and we got her email. And we found out everything. We kept up on her and found out how she was doing with the cancer, how she was doing with this, and how she was doing with that. It was a great time to take what God's given me and allow someone else to partake of it. You know, I used, the other thing she said, "Oh, I used to go to church, but, you know, I, wow, it's funny that you should ask me that, because I really, where are you guys from?" See, When I go into the grocery store, I always ask someone, "So how's your day?" And most of the time, "Oh, yeah, fine, how's yours?" "Well, how's mine?" "Mine's just right. My day is just right." And I go, "Oh, well, that's a fun answer. Well, you know what? The sun came up and I'm still breathing. It is a fantastic day." And it is. Because I get to serve the Lord Christ today. I get to be a servant of the living God. I get to use my mouth to encourage other people, to strengthen other people, not just the body of Christ, but people who don't know him, people who are away from him. and allow them that opportunity to come back to him. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. When we lived in Australia, I went to this one market, and I got in the line. I got up to the front, and I asked the lady, "So how's your day?" She goes, "Oh, I'm fine." "You really want to know how my day is?" I said, "Yeah, I really want to know how your day is." She told me that her mom was sick, that her mom was on the verge of dying. She was in the hospital. She told me the whole story of how her day really was. I told her, "I'm going to pray for you." The next time I came back and I got in the longest line, which was hers, and I knew that I had to be in that line. And I waited, and while I was waiting, I was still praying for her. And I got up to her and I said, "So, how's your mom?" She looked up at me and went, "Well, how did you know about, well, I was here and I asked you how you were and you said this about your mom. I was just wondering, how is she?" "You actually remembered that? Thank you so much for praying." It was just a simple, "How are you? And I'm going to pray for you." It changed someone else's life. How can I be an example to the believer or anyone else in my word? By letting my speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that I may know how I ought to answer each other. And again, that's Colossians 4:6. Always with grace, always seasoned well. One of the things we've seen on Chopped that they talk about when they're judging the food is always, it doesn't have enough salt. It doesn't have enough seasoning. It doesn't taste good. Do my words taste good to someone else? Are they seasoned with salt? And so we will know how we ought to answer each other. So let's say again our key verse for this, 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your love, for your grace that's poured out on us. Father, I thank you for these precious, precious women, Lord, who have come here this morning, Lord, to hear your word. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would be drawn to that closeness with you, Lord, as they invest their time in prayer. They invest their time in your word, and they invest their time seeking your will. I thank you for them, Lord, and I praise your name. Would you continue to minister to us, Lord, as we go on into worship in Jesus' name. Amen.